It's time for the Ice Cap Podcast, the official podcast of the Jacksonville Icemen. This is your one stop for up-to-date Icemen and ECHL news. Now here's your host, Alex Reed.
Welcome to the Ice Cap Podcast, the podcast that talks everything Jacksonville Icemen, the ECHL, and hockey in general. I'm your host, Alex Reed, alongside my other host, Arlie Johnson. Back with you now is this is our playoff primer for the Ice Cap Podcast, as the Jacksonville Icemen have clinched a spot in the postseason, and they will get set this weekend to take on the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. And Arlie, playoff hockey is here.
So exciting for this team, getting ready for the postseason, even more so than last year. I know every fan base is excited for this time of year, but there just seems to be something a little bit different about this one. The Icemen finishing on such a strong note, only 2 points out of first place for the South Division, in a division that is very much up for grabs, where any one of the four teams, quite truthfully, could come out of it, and I don't think anyone would be shocked. But Jacksonville feels so good about their team right now, how they're performing on the ice, how their health seems to be coming together at just the right time. I guess, you know, the proof is in the pudding when it's all said and done, but there's a lot of optimism around this club right now, on the ice and off the ice. I am ready to drop the puck on Friday.
Yeah, I can't get here soon enough. And again, you're right. The team ending the season on a pretty high note there, with a good record down the stretch and a strong finish. And I mean, look, this game 71 of 72, they were competing for a chance to keep their division title hopes alive. It just fell short for them. They didn't get it done. But a record season indeed, in both wins with 44 and points 93. Team raising the bar a little bit from that standpoint. But I know, Arlie, after losing in the second round last year, this group, with a lot of those guys back this season, this core group, they want to raise the bar a little bit higher again this year.
They do. I had a conversation with Jacob Friend before the season finale on Sunday in the training room, asking him about the mindset for himself personally, because he had, was coming back from injury that game, but also from the standpoint of the team and the locker room in general. And he said, "Arlie, last year we were excited about the postseason because we thought we could make some waves, but we're not the team last year that we are this year. We're so much more prepared. We've been through it before. We don't just want to be there for the sake of being there. We're there because we expect to win at this point." I'm paraphrasing, of course, here. I don't want to take any direct quotes here from Jacob Friend. But speaking on behalf of the group, as he was, he felt like this team was ready to not just have a good postseason. He felt like this was a championship-caliber team. Not just a long run, not just a one round. And again, who's to say? We'll find out. But the belief in the locker room is this team is prepared to win the cup. And that is a big difference from years past.
Yeah, because you had a lot of young guys that maybe were playing in their first ever playoff situation. And those guys now have experience. And I think the team learned from that experience last year, going up against a Florida club that ended up winning the entire thing. And, you know, the Icemen were swept in that series. And we've talked about it, that, you know, from a standpoint, when you look at it, all right, the Icemen lost that series 4-0. It was actually tighter, a little bit more tighter of a series than it actually, it looks like on paper. The Icemen certainly competed, but just did not have enough in the tank there to match up with the Florida team that, you know, went on to win the whole thing. But, you know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned, and I think that part is pretty key, and it was a good barometer for some of these younger guys who'd never experienced playoff hockey at that level to get it now, and they understand now. They knew that going into the year, that those lessons learned, they would hope would translate here to a big run. And it sounds like, from your conversation with Jacob Friend, and just what I hear being on the road around in the locker room, this group feels like there's that opportunity, and they want to cash in and try to seize it.
Yeah, I think a huge difference between this year's Icemen squad as opposed to last year's is the depth of the team. Last year, they just didn't have the ability to go line after line or defensive pair by defensive pair and be able to impact the game on both ends of the ice. I think they were always good defensively, but offensively, their consistency was not there last year like they wanted it to be. They've had a ton of injuries this year, and the Icemen have had to deal with some bouts of inconsistency, but I think most of the reason for that is because of the injury. But again, as we addressed at the very beginning of this podcast, the health of this club is just starting to take shape in a positive way at just the right time. Well, I don't want to say that it's for sure, but trends are up for guys like Brendan Harris returning. Trends are up for guys like Craig Martin to return. Jacob Friend just came back on Sunday. Victor Hadfield just came back this past Sunday. And then you throw in some of the guys that came down from the American League to really fill out this roster, bringing in a Ben Tardif late, bringing in a Cristiano Di Giacinto late. It all seems to be coming together right now. Really what it comes down to from this point on is the execution. I think that the roster is built exactly the way that they want it to right now. Now they just have to go out and perform.
Yeah, and then you look at the trade deadline acquisition, another name, Matthew, that Acapelli, boy, was he's starting to turn it on there as well. But you're right, it is going to come down to the execution. And things, as we know, Arlie, it gets harder in the postseason. It's going to be a little bit more of a grind, a little bit more physical. It gets grittier. And, you know, the Iceman getting some of those pieces back. I think those guys are hardworking guys. And, you know, Travis Howe comes back to add a little bit more of a physical presence as well. So, you know, and I'm impressed with, you know, we know Di Giacinto plays a little bite to his game, and he certainly can. But I've been impressed with, Ben Tardif there as well. I mean, we know he's talented. You watch him, he's quick. He's a master with the stick, but he's not at all afraid to go in there and bump somebody up along the boards to go get that puck.
No, and he's not the only one. I mean, Luke Lynch has a lot of sandpaper to his game, too. Even Derek Lodermeyer is starting to play a little bit more physical and defend his turf, let's say, a little bit more than I think he has in previous years. And I think his offensive game has been hand-in-hand with his physical game. You know, he had a career year offensively also, and because he's confident that way, I think he's playing with a lot more swagger than he's accustomed to. You know, he's a guy that's very low-key, soft-spoken guy. But, you know, when the offense starts coming and you realize, you know, end of the year, this caught me completely by surprise that Derek Lodermeyer ended up as the team leader in goals this year. He had a huge push at the end. What was it, 6 goals in the last 6 games or 5 games even, to end up with 26 on the season. And I think that is part of why he's defending himself even more so, because he knows that he can perform out there. And, you know, the confidence in one aspect of the game is creating more confidence in the other aspect.
Yeah, he elevated his game. I mean, his first 2 seasons in pro hockey, both with the Icemen, pretty consistent. You had 15 goals, about 15 assists for about 30 points each year. And then this year, he ramped it up. I think 47 points on the year. That's a career high in assists, and of course 26 goals. So a great finish for him. Lots of guys with career highs. Christopher Brown was voted by his teammates as the team MVP. Those guys, and he brings so much more to the table too, from a defensive side as well. Good two-way forward. But again, a lot of guys elevated their game. And, you know, when you look at that, you're thinking all guys are elevating their game. So is the team itself going to elevate it? And we're going to find out here starting this weekend, Arlie. It's against a Greenville club that we know that when the Icemen have gone head-to-head with them, every single one of those battles, it was just that. It was a battle. You know, both teams, it was tight checking. It was hard. It was gritty. And, you know, just talking with Nick Lucco even before this matchup was set, you know, and a lot of people were asking him, who's the team you want to see in the first round? And I told him, listen, I don't think there's any bargains in the South Division. Careful what you ask for. And he goes, no, I completely agree with that. But he said, of all the teams, he said he felt that Greenville was the team that was most built to be a playoff team of all of the opponents, just because of the style they want to play, the personnel they have, and the mindset of their coach, Andrew Lord.
I think that that may be the case from Nick's standpoint.
Yes.
But we actually talked about this in the season finale. I think if you took a poll of league media people or coaches, for that matter, and had them look at the outside looking into the South Division as an independent, who they felt was most playoff ready, I think most people outside the division would actually say that it's Jacksonville. Nick has to say somebody else. You can't say, oh, we're the ones. We're the ones that are most prepared.
Right, of course.
Of course he's going to go somewhere else, and he went with Greenville, and I happen to agree with that assessment from his standpoint. But if I'm somebody from the Central Division, Mountain, North, name it, and I was given the opportunity to answer who I thought was most playoff-equipped, I think it would be Jacksonville. I think that they're the ones who have enough sandpaper. I think they're the ones that have the best discipline out of anybody out of the four. That matters big time in the postseason. And I think that they're the ones with the most depth as well. They're defensively responsible. Goaltending is solid with 3 different guys, depending on who you want to go with. Other people have some goaltending as their strength too. I think that South Carolina has good goaltending also. I don't want to give credit where credit is due. But the Icemen just seem to have a lot of intangibles that are going in their favor. I can't wait to see the matchup between these two clubs because they are similar in style. But there's one big difference to me, and this is at least the third time that I've said it at this point. The biggest dichotomy between the two is the amount of depth that Jacksonville has as opposed to Greenville, which is much more of a top-heavy offensive unit. Their top line is fantastic. I think their top line is better than any line that Jacksonville can bring out, if truth be told. But, you know, 1-3, lines 1-3, I think it's an entirely different story.
Yeah, that's a good point there, the depth. I think that is the key. You look at the top nine forwards, let's say it's a pretty impressive bunch. We'll talk about the roster here in just a second. And you mentioned the Icemen, pretty good team defensively. I mean, they once again, this year they finished in the top four in just about all defensive categories. So, you know, in goals allowed, shots allowed, goals against, those types of numbers, Jacksonville was, pretty good once again. And, you know, you get the goaltending thrown in there as well. The Icemen could, you know, pot in a few more goals, something that didn't really happen in last year's playoffs. They had difficulty doing that in the second round. You know, three goals, you know, that might be enough. That might be all that you need if you play it right. But I think it's this is a group that's the mindset's there. The want to is there. And these guys, they enjoy. I'm there every day. They enjoy coming to the rink early. And I think that's a big key at this time of year. I'll tell you, there are just sometimes some teams, you know, the teams that aren't in the playoffs, those are teams they probably were counting down the days for the season to be over with so they can just have their summer and be done with it. But that's not the case with this group. These guys love being around each other. They don't want it to end. And I think that's another little intangible. You got a want-to team here, team that wants to have success. They want to do it together. And I think that's another intangible that I think bodes well.
I 100% agree. And I think, you know, if you just need an example of that, you need look no further than the last game of the season. You know, at the very, very end, you know, you're in a meaningless game. You're up against a team that has an even more meaningless game because they're not even going to be in the playoffs in Orlando. And then all of a sudden, Donnybrook breaks out right in the last handful of minutes and then even beyond that. And yet still, there's guys that are sticking up for each other because they know that they're there for one another, risking possible injury in a fight, risking a possible suspension even, which, by the way, did not happen. Everybody is fine. That showed me a ton, and it should show all you fans out there a lot about what these guys mean to each other, that you're going to go out there and you're going to try and mess with us and cross-check one of our guys in the back. Okay, you're going to handle the whole team now if that's the case. So you better be ready. And that was only in game 72 of a game that didn't even matter from a standings standpoint. Now you make that a postseason situation, and it could get very, very intense out there, and I think it will ramp up quickly. And you already talked about Travis Howe coming back. You know, if anybody wants to poke the bear, yeah, no problem. You can try and poke the bear. We've got some people that can answer to that.
There's no question about that. Travis Howe definitely garners attention. And, you know, I told this story the other day, and I guess I'll share it on the podcast. I mean, it was against Greenville, actually. I just can't recall who it was, but I just remember a game earlier this season where I believe it was Jacob Panetta had a good check on a man in front of the penalty box in Greenville. A player on Greenville went to stick up for his teammate. He was gloves off, going after Panetta, and then swooping in was Travis Howe to cut that guy off and grab him. And you could see immediately the guy go, yeah, okay, no, I didn't sign up for this. he was. You could see him waving his hand. No, I'm good, Howie. I'm good. I don't. This is not what I signed up for. So, you know, I mean, but that's the kind of presence he brings to the table, and you know, he's got that reputation, and guys know that. So, you know, just having him out there does kind of create that mental mindset here. And I guess it's a good segue to really kind of talk about the playoff roster because, Arlie, we had so many bodies in the locker room this year. When you had, you know, at one point, we had 15 guys, on the injured list or at least injured, unable to play. So the Icemen had to bring in more bodies to, you know, fill those roles. And some of those guys didn't make the playoff roster. You are limited to a certain number. And Jacksonville had to make some tough decisions along the way. But, you know, they are also, as you mentioned, getting healthy at the right time. And some of these guys, these prominent names that are a big piece of this puzzle, are coming back at the right time. Just really wanted to kind of transition into how the playoff roster looks, you know, who made it in. And of the guys that maybe didn't make it, you know, it's nothing personal or anything like that. It just is a numbers game, unfortunately. I know they'd love to keep them all. So, but I like the group that's here. And we were saying the D word here, depth. That's what really resonates here. We're going to sound like a broken record, but now that the Iceman's getting healthy, that depth is there.
No, the roster is stacked right now, and unfortunately some guys just could not make the top 24. It actually began in the final weekend of the regular season with Brett Van Oss getting released. He's a very useful player and a guy that I think Nick Lucco would like to have around, but just couldn't do it. You see guys getting healthy, and there's just no room. And, you know, we'll get into the breakdown of forwards to defensemen to goaltending in a little bit, because there's one key player in that, which I'll get to in a moment. But when it gets to the final 24, then you're talking about, you know, who makes the roster and why. You know, are they healthy enough to be able to go through the entire postseason? Do they offer a certain something? Maybe there's just a specialty to their game. Maybe one of them is an excellent penalty killer, to give an example. Maybe somebody's a good face-off guy. Or, you know, there's all kinds of little things, little reasons why somebody might be on a roster as opposed to off a roster. And I think the two guys that stuck out to me most were for not making the team, and I'm not going to give them in any kind of order, were Connor Russell not being able to make the roster from a defensive standpoint, and then up front, Carson MacKinnon also not making the roster after I thought that he had really started playing his best hockey in the last weekend of the regular season, including his first couple of professional goals. But there's just flat out wasn't enough room for those guys. Look, it's hard. You know, they performed well. They did everything that was asked of them. I think that Connor Russell, for him, I don't think that that was a performance one. I think that was more a health one. From what I understand, he was not going to be ready for the start of the playoffs. He could have been ready later, but do you want to lose a roster spot for a could-have-been-available kind of situation? And ultimately, the answer was no. You need to have guys that, you know, if I have a guy that's available for the entire postseason and I've got another guy that may or may not be available, I think you have to go for the sure thing there, and unfortunately, that's what cost Connor Russell. And as for Carson MacKinnon, you know, it kind of came down to me for a battle for the final roster spot between him and Chris Grando, a couple of new guys that had come in from their college careers. And, you know, with all due respect to Carson MacKinnon, Chris Grando, I think, wowed a lot of people from game one stepping in as a top unit penalty killer. Got a little power play time as well, putting in points at over half a point a clip right out of school, and he's already doing these kind of things. It's hard to say no to that, and I think he absolutely earned his roster spot.
Yeah, he really did, and I think the emergence there of Julian Kisselin as well, and his playing time on the back end of things, boy, was he a delight to see there. You know, he didn't really come out of he didn't look like a college guy starting his pro career when he started. I mean, he got right into it and jumped in. Another great pickup by the Iceman off waivers from the South Carolina Stingrays, and so he earned another spot. And I think that helped, too. It helped in helping the coaching staff realize, okay, we trust this kid, and we can have him in the lineup. And, you know, that also affected the numbers game a little bit. So, well, let's get into it. Like, you know, looking at the roster here quickly, and you know, as we look at the forward group, you know, there's a lot of depth there, Arlie. And now with the Iceman getting healthy, looking at it ahead, this is a group right now that is, you know, when you look at it from a production standpoint and even on paper, it looks quite impressive.
Yeah, it 100% does. I mean, I don't know where Nick Lucco is going to have his line specifically, who matches up on what line. He always does such a good job with that. But with guys coming back into the fold, he's got some decision making for who's on what line. One thing I will warn people from an Iceman standpoint especially, do not try and predict who's your top line, your second line, your third line. Don't bother, because the third line could be the best line of the night any given night. The first line could be the best line any given night. They are so balanced right now that, you know, I don't know who's going to be on what line, but it's going to be like blurred lines. You can look at any line and say, well, which one's the top line? And you can make an argument for all three of them being the top line. It's typically 11 forwards, 6 defensemen. I'm going to guess, without talking to Coach Lucco about this, is sheer speculation, that Travis Howe is going to be one of those extra forwards. And then it's going to be a matter of, well, do you want to have them as just an extra forward, or do you want to use that as 2/3 of a fourth line, which would also be very impactful? And then you just bring maybe a centerman back and double shift every now and again. And if you do it that way, and I think the Icemen are capable of doing it that way, you could really start exhausting your opposition if you just keep rolling line after line, especially if you can do it four lines over.
100%. And just looking at the group here, I mean, you mentioned you know, Chris Grando. He's a guy that I think, you know, I'm looking at, you look at the players that, you know, expect to be in there. Grando being new, you know, he's a guy that if, you know, someone were to fall ill or something like that, he could plug right in, I think, fit right in, talking about that depth there. And I think one of the names I think that might surprise some people is the fact that Ben Howerchuk made this list. And
yes,
he's been hurt for a long time, but you know, he is he's skating again. And getting ready for him. It's just conditioning at the moment. But you know, he's a guy that it's like, okay, yeah, you've missed a good portion of the season with that injury, and you had to get that healed. But he's also a guy, when he's ready to go from a conditioning standpoint and fully healthy, he's a guy you want in the playoffs, just with the way that he plays from an offensive standpoint, a hustle standpoint, and the grit side of things. He's a guy that I think really was a pleasant surprise to see on there. And that's what means this all parts with the, you know, the fact that the team's getting healthy.
And that, and we saw that last year with him, you know, Mr. Overtime last year, including in the playoffs, where he had an overtime goal against Atlanta. And what is it? I think the most critical game out of that entire series, where he got the game winner. And him, along with Cristiano Di Giacinto, I think they're almost mirror images of one another, maybe even clones, because they're both left-handed shots. And those are the kind of guys that you want, the guys that can play physical, that can, you know, win puck battles along the wall, the ones that will defend their teammate. They will all do those things. But they also add speed. They also add skill. They're not just physical performers. They are producing players. These guys have a lot of production. There's very little out there on the Iceman roster that is not capable of doing big time stuff. Maybe take Travis Howe out of the equation from a production standpoint, but every other forward that is on this roster, you can count on and think, okay, this guy's going to give me something offensively. They're not just out there to eat minutes for the other guys. I cannot say that about the Greenville playoff roster and their forwards. I think they're going to have guys that are just trying to get through their shift in order to get to the top line again. For Jacksonville, that's not the case. They are a threat with whoever is on the ice right now.
They really are. And then you look on the back end, Arlie. We talked about the forward group there. Looking in the back end, a pretty stable group. Some experience in there, some new guys that have really been pleasant surprises, but some guys that had some really good years. Timothy Acheritas, a rookie. He won the team's Rookie of the Year award and led all Iceman defenders in scoring with 30 points there as well. So, but Jacob Friend, you know, getting him back in. It's great to see him back in the game there on Sunday. He's the type of guy you really want to have in the playoffs. I mean, he just fits that playoff mold when he is completely dialed in. And, you know, then Victor Hadfield getting back, a versatile guy. He can play D or forward. What a great little, some fans were saying, maybe he should have been an unsung hero, where I know it went to the right guy in Charles Williams, but he's a guy that they needed. He played wherever. Where do you need me, coach? That was Victor Hadfield this year before he had the injuries. So great group there. There's a veteran guy in Garrett Cockrell. He's been in a lot of these situations before. Brandon Fortunato, also looking at Jacob Panetta, Mackenzie Dwyer, a guy, one of those new guys that kind of earned himself a spot. Great size, very stable, very simple, you know, game to him. But those, sometimes you got to have that. You got to have that size and a little bit of physicality there in the back end.
You always need defensemen. You can never have enough for the Icemen to have eight defensemen that are all reliable. I look at it top to bottom, from number one to number eight. You can choose whatever order you want them to be in. I'll take all eight of them to be available for this club. I don't think I can say that for anybody else, at least in the South Division, without having to look at the other rosters right now. They can all bring something to the table. But there's one guy in particular that I want to highlight, because I think that he is actually the most indispensable player on the entire roster right now. And it's not because he's a showstopper. It's because of what he can do on the back end. It's Jacob Friend. I think he is the most indispensable guy, because nobody else on the roster can do what he does as well as he does it. I think, you know, his size, his toughness, his leadership, which is kind of unsung, but I think he's got a lot of it, even though he's a quiet leader. He definitely provides it. But he's the guy, more than anyone else, that will be able to keep people out of the crease of Charles Williams, Olaf Lindbom, Parker Gahagan, whoever it happens to be in front of them. And that is essential, I would say, even especially for round one. If there's one area where the Icemen have struggled this year defensively, there have not been many, but if there is one, it is being able to get large forwards out of the crease. They have struggled in terms of allowing screen goals tap-in goals, power play goals, with those kind of things. Another guy who really hurt the Icemen this year, who I'm very thankful we are not seeing in the postseason, is Ross Olsen from Orlando. He was exceptional at exactly that job, just standing in front of the crease and no one could move him. Well, a lot of those games, Jacob Friend wasn't there. Jacob Friend can move people. I don't care if they're 6'4". I don't care if they're 6'7", which is why I bring this up with Nikita Pavlichev for Greenville. He's going to be that guy. I think maybe the biggest matchup of this entire series, if you want to talk one-to-one matchups, is Nikita Pavlichev against Jacob Friend. And if Friend can neutralize him, I don't think you're going to completely eliminate him, but if you can neutralize him and just make him just another guy, then everything else is advantage Jacksonville.
I would agree with that. And then, of course, looking at the goaltending side of things, the Icemen will have their choice of three goaltenders. Not so much to start. Parker Gahagan is called up to the American Hockey League with the Hartford Wolfpack. You know, the Rangers are holding on to three goalies. They took one from Hartford, so Hartford wants three goalies. Gahagan goes up for the time being, but he is playoff eligible. He'll be able to rejoin the team whenever he is sent back. So it leaves the Icemen with Charles Williams and Olaf Lindbom heading into the weekend here. And you've got a young kid, a lot of investment in him from the New York Rangers side and Lindbom. And then you got Charles Williams, your Unsung Hero Award winner and a guy that's been around, the veteran. I think the Icemen, from that standpoint, look pretty good on the in the net.
Yeah, they do. They can go about it either way. I think that I'd be confident with whoever ends up between the pipes if I'm head coach Nick Lucco. It's going to come down to, do you want a young kid who's a prospect, or do you want a guy that's been there? I don't even want to say which way it'll end up going, but you can't go wrong either way. You got a talented guy. You got a guy that's been there. Charles Williams has done it in Manchester. He's done it in Indy. He did it last year with the Icemen as well. Look, the guys are going to be ready. I'm not worried about the goaltending at all. For Parker Gahagan, certainly hope he comes back down. I think one thing that for you Parker Gahagan fans out there, or Icemen in general fans, make sure you watch the Hartford Wolfpack and how they're doing in their Calder Cup playoff series. By the way, they start with a best-of-three series,
yeah. And
their game one is tonight. It is Hartford against Springfield. That series could be over as soon as Friday night. And if Hartford goes loss, not that we wish losses upon our affiliates, we don't, but if it goes loss, then I'd say that you're most likely going to have Parker Gahagan back here in time for game three of this series. If Hartford loses their series, Parker Gahagan is probably back in time for game three. If Hartford wins that series, well, then you're in a best of seven, I believe, and you might be without him for an extended period of time. Either way, Jacksonville is equipped to handle this. They've got three goaltenders that they can all rely on. From Greenville's standpoint, if you want to go goaltender to goaltender, they also have a pretty good goaltending. Ryan Bednar is going to be their guy. He has given the Icemen fits over the years, although not so much this year as opposed to last year. I think he was 3-3 against Jacksonville this year. I fully expect him to be the guy between the pipes for every single game for Greenville. For Jacksonville, I have no idea who's going to start any given game. I don't know if it's going to be one guy all the way through. I don't know if it's going to be some form of rotation. I'm confident no matter what Nick Lucco chooses, because they have the depth at goaltending to be able to withstand anything too.
Yeah, and it's good that you mentioned Bednar, because it's a good transition to really talk about the opponent the Icemen are going to see in the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Bednar, as you mentioned, probably going to get most of the starts here, as Rennick, the other goalie they have, has been called up. Very similar situation with Gahagan. He goes up to the next level. So let's talk about this Greenville club. You know, the Icemen's opponent. If you're the road team in the series, basing this on the regular season, if you're the road team, well, you got to be feeling pretty good, Arlie, because the numbers are pretty interesting in the head-to-head series, which, by the way, overall, these two teams were very tight. I believe it was, 6-4 Icemen was?
6-4-1.
Yeah, 6-4-1 Jacksonville was against Greenville this year, but when you look at it, Arlie, from a record standpoint, as far as being the road team, really shined in the regular season.
Yeah, they did. The road team, there were 11 total matchups between Jacksonville and Greenville. The road team won 9 of the 11 games.
Wow.
That is remarkable
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
Jacksonville went 5-1 on the road. Greenville went 4-1 on the road. Three of the 11 games went to overtime. These are the two teams that had the most overtime games in the South Division for sure. Maybe around the league, I would even say, although I don't know that for a fact. But both these teams were very overtime heavy, so no surprise that there were three overtime games there as well. Jacksonville won 6 of the 11. Ultimately, Greenville won 5 of the 11. This matchup couldn't be more even to me. I would say the same thing if you want to go outside the division to South Carolina and Florida, the other matchup. We've probably been talking about this since January about the matchups and how even it is. I don't know if I can pick any one team from the South beating any other team from the South out of these four in anything less than a 7-game series. That's how it is evenly. That's how even it is across the board right now. I don't want to quite say flip a coin because I think there's some intangibles that may come into play when it's all said and done, but nobody will be surprised if any of these four teams win this series, the next series, or even beyond that because this whole division was a wagon.
Well, if the Iceman are going to have success here, they've got to be disciplined here. We talked about that off the air before. And not that this power play is elite, really, for Greenville. They're pretty good. Their numbers aren't bad at all in the front coming, just basically on the regular season. But the 1-2 punch of Pavlicev, who you mentioned, Alex Arullo, when they're on the power play, you got Max Martin there, the quarterback of the power play there for Greenville. They had a lot of success against Jacksonville. They had 10 power play goals, and Arullo and Pavlicev were usually a 1-2 punch. When you look at the scoring sheets in those situations, Arullo with 15 points against Jacksonville this season in games. So these are guys, whether even 5-on-5 or on the power play, the Icemen, they got to find a way to shut those guys down somehow because Arullo was one of the top scorers in the ECHL for the entire season.
Yeah, the Icemen typically don't mind a specialty teams kind of game where there's a lot of power plays for each team, and they can handle it against anybody.
Sure.
I'm not going to say that they wouldn't, but I think if Nick Lucco had his druthers, I think he'd rather this be a series where there's not more than maybe 2 or 3 power play chances per team. I think that might be better suited to play this club 5-on-5 because, like we continue to say, they just can go line after line, shift after shift, wave after wave, and just kind of wear an opponent down. If not in one individual game, at least over the course of a 7-game series. But if you give Greenville the opportunity to send out Pavlicev, Martin on the blue line, who's very skilled as a quarterback on the power play. Alex Irulo, I'll throw Brett Kemp in there also. I think he's very skilled also. You give them more opportunities, that gives them more chances to win. And, you know, Jacksonville's power play has been very good lately. 3 power play goals in the season finale on top of that. But still, I think give me 5-on-5 play. I think that might be the better route to be able to exit out of the series and make your way to the South Division Finals.
All right, before we close it out here, we just, you know, preview the Iceman series with Greenville. What about the other division or the other divisional series there? South Carolina, the number one seed, taking on the 4th-seeded Florida Everblades, who are the defending champions. Your thoughts on how that one's going to go? I know you said you can't really see many of these series, you know, not being finished in 7 games, but you have a team that tries to be a little bit more defensive in Florida, try to lock you down, but they're going up against a team that's got a lot of forward and scoring punch in the Stingrays.
South Carolina really took off at the end of the year. They had a road trip about 2 weeks before the end of the regular season where they went to Toledo, they went to Fort Wayne, they went to Cincinnati. Win, win, win. And not just winning. Like, they destroyed every team. Cincinnati and Toledo in particular, the two of the top 3 teams in terms of points in the entire league, South Carolina blitzed them. And they continued once they came back home as well. So it's 2 very evenly matched teams. The difference is South Carolina turned it on in the last 2 weeks. Florida really struggled in the last 2 weeks. But that doesn't tell me that Florida will continue to struggle. Maybe it goes that way, but I think that Florida's too good to have that kind of stretch continue on into the playoffs. So to me, it's still a very evenly matched series. And Florida, by the way, had South Carolina's number for the most part this year, except for maybe about the final 3 or 4 games of the regular season when the Stingrays finally took a couple from them. But I still think Florida won 7 of 10 matchups, I want to say, against South Carolina during the regular season. So they know how to win. They know how to win in Charleston. They have Cam Johnson, and that is an X factor in itself. You know, they know what it takes to win. South Carolina, I'm not sure if they're ready for it just yet. So that's going to be a very intriguing series. For those Iceman fans who are disappointed that Jacksonville didn't get home ice throughout the division playoffs, not so fast. I don't think it's a given that the Icemen, if they advance past Greenville, don't have home ice in round two. I think it's certainly a possibility that Jacksonville could end up facing Florida for the South Division Finals, just like last year. The difference would be that if that matchup were to take shape, that Jacksonville would end up with home ice advantage when it's all said and done.
Boy, oh boy, wouldn't that be something here? The two teams, the big rivalry could be rekindled there. But we'll see. It's just around the corner here, folks, as the Icemen and the Greenville Swamp Rabbits get going this weekend. Games 1 and 2 are this Friday and Sunday, Friday, April 21st at 7 p.m., and then Sunday at 5 p.m., both games at ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. Tickets available online at Ticketmaster at jacksiceman.com, or give the Icemen office a call. Talk to our great staff, 904-602-7825. Again, that's 904-602-7825. Or just make it easy. It'd be 904-602-PUCK.
Yes.
There you go. Make it there. And then the series will shift to Greenville for at least two, possibly three games, depending how the first two go. And keep in mind, there was a little bit of a post there that said that the season, game three started on Wednesday of next week. That's actually not true. It's actually Tuesday, April 25th, Jacksonville at Greenville. So that's game three. Games four and the potential five will take place on Friday, April 28th, Saturday, April 29th. Both at Greenville. And should we go to six games, then that would happen at Jacksonville on May the 2nd at 7 p.m. And then, as Arlie says, maybe it'll go seven. It will be May 3rd. So that is a Tuesday and Wednesday. So the Icemen with the final two games of the series, should it go that far, would be on home ice as well. But one thing we know for certain, this Friday, this Sunday, it's playoff hockey in Jacksonville. Arlie, can't wait.
Let's get it going right now. I am ready to drop the puck. I am ready for the postseason to begin. I cannot wait to see this matchup take shape. Two very, very good teams in the South. Any of these teams can make a big run. I'm just hoping that the Icemen end up with their dice rolling their way and come out on top and move on.
All right, sounds like a plan. The best time of year, folks, playoff hockey time, and it's coming to Jacksonville here this weekend. A few thank yous here. Obviously, need to thank all the fans for their continued support of the team. The Icemen finishing the regular season number one in the league in attendance, overall attendance and average attendance, simply incredible. That's a great testament to the support that the team gets here. Need to keep that riding into the playoffs here as well. But a big thanks to all the fans for their continued support as we still have more hockey to go. Also need to thank Gemstone Media for providing us their wonderful studio here to bring these podcasts to you, and for the equipment they provide for us to do the game broadcast as well. Big thank you to Gemstone Media. And of course, my host here today, Arlie Johnson. It's always a pleasure, Arlie. And let's get this thing rolling.
Can't wait, Reader.
All right. Sounds like a plan. This has been the Ice Cap Podcast for Arlie Johnson. I'm Alex Reed. Happy hockey ahead. We'll see you next time.